And you know what I've decided? It's not optional as to whether or not you praise him. It's required. When I find somebody who refuses to pray, I have to praise him. I have to worry about their heart. I wish you could stand up here sometimes and look out over the congregation as worship is being led. It is so depressing. I mean, I'm up here singing and people are... It's like being a cheerleader for a team that hadn't won a game in 25 years. Cowboys. I mean, this is... Come on, get over it. They don't need a new coach. They need a new owner. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. Unless you want to meet me later on, we'll talk right down here. I mean, really, it's amazing. I try to get people to worship, and it's almost like pulling teeth. Why is it so hard for us to come to his house of worship and worship him? Some of you are going to die and experience culture shock when you get to heaven. You're going to stand at the gates of glory and see all the worship and praise going on. It'll be more than you can handle because you've been dull and pitiful for so long. And some of you are going to stand right there at the gates of glory and just die of a heart attack. I don't know where you go then. Ask the preacher. He knows. He knows stuff like that. How have we made something so wonderful so dull? People have been looking for everlasting life. They've been looking for the fountain of youth since time began. We have found it in Jesus Christ. Why can't we be more thrilled about it? And we go to football games and we shout and scream and rant and rave and yell and go crazy. And that's over people hitting each other. Then we come down here in the name of the Lord and we get dull. Something's drastically wrong. I watch you. We're marching to Zion. And real thrilled about the trip, I can tell by looking at you. You know what we're going to do when we get to heaven? We're going to worship the Lord. Well, if I don't like it, I'll go sit in the corner. What if it's round? Every 1,000 years, you come bumping around. There he goes. What's wrong with us? Some of you sitting right here just counting the minutes till we're through. Can't wait to get to something else. Well, there's a game on. Get over the game. You couldn't have played football in high school if your life depended on it. You know it. Back in those days, if they'd have nailed the ball to your hand and kicked you in the right direction, you couldn't have made nothing. Nowadays, well, if I could get on that field, I'd show them a thing or two. You're probably a stroke by the 10-yard line. Why do we get so thrilled about something we can't participate in? And we come down here, we get right in the big middle of it, and we choose not to. Have we taken up the offering yet? Let's read on because it gets better. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live. In your name, I will lift up my hands. Well, now, Brother David, that would be the church further down the road. If you'll take a left. We've gotten so scared of the charismatics, we've gone the other direction. Have you noticed that? I know some of you wondering, is he a Baptist? Yes. I've been a Baptist longer than I've been a Christian. Well, I mean, look, there is no rules to being a Baptist. Look around. We will let anybody in here. We're just glad you showed up for whatever reason it was. I'm a Baptist. First of all, I'm a Christian. I'm a child of God. I'm a child of the King. That comes before anything that you can stamp on it. Lift my hands. We've gotten so scared of the charismatics, we've done an about face. You know what? This is what I've discovered. There's just as much wrong with no use of the Spirit as there is with misuse. And I told the pastor in the group this morning that sometimes I get to go to Pentecostal and Assembly of God churches. I only go once, so they don't invite me back. But I love those churches. You know why I love them? They come ready to worship. I mean, they come in, sometimes they're singing before they get there. So I have been where they're singing in the parking lot, getting out of their cars. And they're thrilled. They come in. We're playing and jamming. We're already going. We're cranking. We're worshiping the Lord. I love that. Well, doesn't it get a little crazy sometimes? Sometimes it does. But you know what I've discovered? It's a whole lot easier to cool off a fanatic than it is to raise the dead. If you get a little carried away, I think I can handle you. But if you're down in the basement when you show up, I'm going to have a lot of trouble dragging you up the stairs. I will lift up my hands in worship and praise. Why? He's worthy. The Bible says the trees of the field clap their hands and lift up their branches to him. Oh, dead trees know better how to treat God than we do. I love that. I will worship you. Years ago when I started traveling, my little boys would sometimes, when I came home after being gone for a few days, they'd know I was coming in. They'd be sitting on the front porch waiting for me. I'd pull in the driveway, a little circle drive we have. Here they come. Through the car stop, they came running out. And the first thing they would do, they would raise their hands to me and say, "Take me, Daddy." And there have been times in the last few years of my life when I just wanted to lift my hands to him and say, "Lord, I just need to touch you. I need to be in your presence. Just take me." It's okay to lift your hand. It's all right. It's good to worship the Lord. Let's read on. We're nearly through. I'm hurrying, I promise. I have a watch. It's the preacher's. Mickey's hands are on the 8. Good choice, brother. Verse 5, Psalm 63. My soul will be satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. On my bed, I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night. Because you are my help, I sing. Listen to it. I sing in the shadow of your wings. He set me free. So I'm just singing and praising and worshiping. When was it like that with you? The psalmist didn't come asking for something. He just came, "Lord, I just want to be in the middle of you one more time, like it used to be. Remember, like it used to be." Close your Bibles with me. I like to say that so people think we're nearly through. Some years ago, when my boys were little, I was sitting in the living room in my big easy chair right in front of a big picture window that goes out to the back porch. They came running to the living room, and I don't know where they were going, but they saw me, and they stopped, and they had a little powwow. They huddled up there in the hallway, and they turned and smiled at me, and about 90 miles an hour, here they came running at my chair, and they both jumped in my lap at the same time, hit me like the force of a concrete truck. I mean, boom, pushed the chair back against the window. We were nearly out in the yard with the dog in the car. Finally righted the chair up, and they started hugging on me, and just it was just crazy. They were just kissing me and just loving on me and just going crazy. And I let it go on for a little while. Finally, I put their heads together, pushed them back so I could see them face to face. I said, "Boys, what do you want?" You know when you're getting slickered up for something. My littlest boy, never forget as long as I live, looked me right in the face, smiled that little grin. "Daddy, we don't want nothing. We just saw you sitting here and we thought we'd come over here and love on you because you're our dad." And when they do that, they can have anything they want. I start looking for stuff to give them. I check the classifieds for a 63 split window Corvette. Something we could share. I want you to get this morning. We have a right from the very mouth of God. We have a right to let our prayers and petitions be made known unto him. And I'm so grateful for that he hears me when I call on him. But you know what I believe? I believe we could go the rest of our lives and never ask him for a single thing and be blessed far beyond what we ever dreamed possible. The Bible already says he knows what we have need of better than we know. Sometimes we pray and ask for the wrong things. He never prays and asks for the wrong things for us. He always knows what we need. And I believe for the rest of our lives, we could just go to him and love on him as the Father. And the Father, knowing the needs of the children, would bless. Don't get me wrong. We have that right to let him know. When's the last time you went to him and just loved on him? When's the last time you just went to him to talk to him and you didn't have a list of Pollywanna cracker things that were first on the list? When is the last time that you just fell in love with God? Lord, I'm not asking you for anything today. I just want to be in your presence. I want to rejoice in you. I want it to be the way it used to be when I first fell in love with you. Would you bow your heads together with me, please? Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Nobody's looking. I want to pray for you this morning. I don't have a more direct route to God than anyone else. Don't misunderstand. But this is just what God lets me do as I travel. I'm going to ask you to be very honest with me this morning. I'm not going to come and get you. I'm not going to sick the preacher on you. We're not going to grab you at the door when you leave. I'm not going to make you do anything publicly this morning. Just asking you to let me pray for you. And please don't lie to me. Be honest with me. Listen to the whole thing. How many of you would say, David, I know that I know Jesus. That's not the issue. There's been a time when I've realized he was my Lord and Savior, and I gave my life to him, and he came into my heart and saved my soul. That's not the issue. But David, my life is not at all what God wants me to be right now. I'm not saying you just said a bad word to that neighbor friend of yours, or you forgot to put money in the offering last week. That's not what I'm talking about. But you know in your heart you have gotten away from the things of God. And you would have to stand with the psalmist and say, Lord, I'm here because I've gotten caught up in the things of the world, and I want to come back to what you are and who you are. I want to be with you the way I used to be when we first met each other. You'd say, David, I know that I know Jesus, but my life is not at all where God wants me to be. He's breaking my heart about it. You know what? And maybe you're not even ready to do anything about it. Nobody's looking, heads are bowed, pastor's eyes are closed, staff's eyes are closed, they're praying, no cameras rolling. David, I know that I know Jesus, but I'm not at all where I should be with him. Would you please pray for me? If that's you this morning, would you just slip your hand right up and right back down so I can pray for you? Just real quick, come on, all over the building. God bless you. Yes, thank you, thank you, thank you. All over, wow, all over. God bless you. Just right up and right back down. Anyone else? Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Yes, anyone else before we're through? Thank you, amen, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, buddy. God bless you. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, hon, thank you. Anyone else before we're through? Thank you, buddy. God bless your heart. Thank you, hon. Thank you, brother. Thank you, brother. Amen. Anyone else? I just want to pray. Anyone else? Thank you, my brother. God bless your heart. Anyone else? One more opportunity. Anyone else? Let's pray together. Father in heaven, these are your people. And Lord, sometimes we just get distracted. There are an awful lot of things to pull us away from you in this day and time. And Lord, I'm praying for a revival this week. I'm praying for a revival of your saints, that you would make us as we once were. You would break our hearts. You would open our eyes to our sin and cause us, Lord, to come back to you. Lord, do a miracle this morning. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen. Look right here. I'm beginning my 36th year of traveling and singing and speaking for Jesus. You think by now a guy my age would have a real job of some sort, huh? This is not what I chose to do. This is what God chose for me. I had a great plan for my life. God really messed it up. This is what I do. I do conferences, I do concerts, I do camps, I do revivals. I've done every kind of revival you can do. Every kind of revival you can label. I've done
huge church revivals. I've done small church revivals, intermediate church revivals. I've done stadium crusades. I've done Brush Arbor meetings, open field revivals. I've done them all. Stewardship revivals and Christian, all every brand you can think of, I've done it. And I'm going to be honest, in 36 years of all the revival meetings I've been a part of, I have seen very little revival. Now, I want to qualify that. I've seen a lot of people get saved, and we get real thrilled about that, but I got to be honest with you, that's not what revival's about. Revival is for God's children. You got to be vived before you can be revived. Amen. This is what I've noticed about the places where real revival is broken out. The most amazing and wonderful byproduct of a revival is that people get saved. Well, I've seen a lot of places where people get saved here in the church. That's great. But when revival breaks out, people get saved out there. They get saved at work and at school, at the office and at home. Just on the street corner. It's amazing what happens when the church of God, the people of God, get revived. I have not asked for a lot of people to get saved this week to the Lord. That's a given. He knows that I want that to happen. What I've prayed for this week is you. And by your presence here on a Sunday morning, you're probably the best God has in Edna, Texas. And I'm going to tell you right now, nearly 80% of us lifted our hand this morning to say we're not at all where we should be with God. Here's the wonderful thing about God. He convicts us of that position and calls us to come home. I would like to, before God calls me to heaven, to see true revival. I did not bring it this week. What you've heard this morning, it's as good as it's going to get. Nothing in my pocket to bring in later on that just surprise you. It's just, this is it. But I believe maybe God has spoken to some hearts this morning. We're going to have a time of invitation. This is what I'm going to ask of you. If God has spoken to your heart on any level today, I'm going to ask you to come to the altar. Now, I know what some of you would say. Well, you know, we don't, Sunday mornings, we don't go to the altar. You know, that's probably the way most churches are. I told them early, most Baptist churches I'm in, the carpet down front is always the nicest. Would you maybe this morning, to the exception, would you break the rule and would you this morning come and meet with God on His terms? My oldest son would sometimes ignore my youngest son. Caleb would just be talking and talking, and Joshua, the older boy by 2 years, was too good to listen to him. And after a little while, I have to butt in and I'd have to say, Joshua, your little brother Caleb has gone to the trouble to form a complete sentence with a thought behind it. He's aimed it in your direction with your name on it. He has a right to hear back from you. If God has spoken to your heart this morning in any level from His word, He has a right to hear back from you. You might want to come and say, God, I'm not ready to do anything. Or you might want to come this morning and say, God, I'm sorry for not being what I should have been. Let this be a difference and a change in my life starting from today. Maybe you're here without Christ. Nothing counts until you get saved. So I'm going to ask you this morning, if God has spoken to you on any level, I'm going to ask you to come. Well, we're nearly through. We're nearly out the door. You know, really and truly, what did we come for? You knew God may speak to your heart when you showed up, so why wouldn't you want to stay and get all of it? Pastor's going to be here. The staff's going to be here. You might want to come and talk to them. But I'm simply going to ask you this morning, if God has spoken to you on any level, the altar is open, even right now as others come. Would you stand together with me? Heads bowed, eyes closed. Christians praying. Come on, altar's open.